Baruchim Abayim, and welcome back to another week of Parsha Insights, Parsha's Chayesara. Wonderful to be able to learn together in the Heichal, and I hope everyone in the Heichal, those listening on the phone, and those who will be Ezras Hashem and B'siyata Dishmai hear the recording, the Divrei Torah give us chizuk and enhance our Shabbos Kodesh. Please, Rabbeisai, share the Divrei Torah with others, and let's have a chelek in Zikui Harabim. The shiur is being sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ilei Nishmas, Rebecca Bas Serena, and Leon Ben Rachel. Be'ezus Hashem, their Neshama Tahereh Zalhav in Alichtig Gan Eden. The shiur is also being sponsored L'Zecher Nishmas U'Le'ilei Nishmas, Shalom Meir, Ben Rafael Leib, whose yard site is actually tonight, Chof Beis Cheshvan, so please keep in mind the name Sholom Meir Ben Rafael Leib. It's being sponsored by the Marlow family, and may his neshama tahira have a lichtige lichtige gan eden. If a person takes a look in the beginning of the parsha, we see something unique about the name of Ephraim, the one who made the sale of Maros HaMachpelah to Avram Avinu. The pasuk tells us, Vayishkol Avraham le'Ephraim es hakesef. The money is being exchanged, and he weighed out the money, the price that was mentioned. Arva mea shekel kesef. I often say over when it comes to this parsha, you know, there are some things that you always remember, you'll never forget. Very often, if you're writing somebody a letter, and the content of the letter is relevant to a pasuk in the parsha, that's the way you'll date the letter. Like, let's say a person's making a bris, so if it's the parsha where Yitzchak had bris mila, you might write, early yom dal le parshas vayomel Avram is Yitzchak. You'll quote a pasuk that references what the contents of the letter are. I remember when I was in yeshiva, a dear friend of mine was asking his father to send some money. We were learning in Eretz Yisrael. He ran out of money and he needed some money. So it was this week's Parsha Chayesor and it was Wednesday. So he wrote, Orli Yom Dal Le Parshas Arba Mea Shekel Kesef Bein Yu Bein Chamahi. I don't remember how much money he got or he didn't get, but I definitely remember how he chose to date the letter on what pasuk he used. So here we mamish have that sale of Maros HaMachpelah. If you take a look, it's interesting. The Mefarshim point out that Ephraim's name is always spelled with a vav, ayin fe resh vav nun. But there's one exception. When the money is actually being exchanged, the pasuk that we just read, vayishkol Avram le'Ephron es hakesef, this pasuk that I just read, that Avram weighed out the money, the 400 silver shekel pieces that he was going to give to Ephraim, there the name is spelled chaser without the vav. I hope you see that inside the pasuk. I'm sure you see that. Even the beginning of the pasuk spells it with a vav, ayin fe resh vav nun. But then when the money is being exchanged, there the pasuk says perek chav gimel, pasuk tezayin, Ephraim, ayin fe resh nun, there's no vav. Why not? The Mefarshim tell us that what the Torah wants to point out, Ephraim did an extreme amount of talking. He spoke about how he was going to give this Maros HaMachpelah, this gravesite, to Avram Avinu. It's going to be there for the Avos and Imos. And yet, lemaisa was rhetoric, because he ended up charging what was considered a very hefty and substantial sum. As a result, he definitely gained money. He lost his reputation. And Memela, how do we see that? Because the Torah went out of its way to spell Ephraim Chaser without a vav, which shows that his stature was diminished. And that's indicated by the fact that the vav is missing. Chaser, his name is diminished. His stature became diminished. And it became diminished because he went ahead and charged an exorbitant sum when he said that he was going to go ahead and give it, or at least for a minimal price, when that didn't end up happening. One has to wonder, why should that bother Ephraim? He ended up with money. of what relevancy is it to him that his name is now being spelled without a vav? And even if you want to say that it's not for him per se, how are we to understand? The vav is taken out, and therefore what? The name is diminished. Instead of having five letters, it has four letters. His reputation and stature also became diminished. There's got to be something more to the missing vav. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, tells us something beautiful. Etymologically, the root of Ephraim's name, one of the three main letters of his name, Ayin Fei Resh, which is from the word Ofar. Ofar means dust. Every person essentially comes from dust. In fact, we know that because we say, right after the Nisan HaTokef Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, Adam Yesoidai Mei Ofar. Everyone essentially comes from dirt. We come from the ground. In fact, that's why Adam HaRishon took his name Adam, because he was taken from the Adama. So all of us have our origin in something that was from the ground, something that was from the dust. Certainly Ephraim, hence the name Ayin Feiresh, Afar, because that was his origin. You see, Rabbi Isai, he had a golden opportunity. He could have done with dirt, with dust, with ground, one builds. He had the ability with this one action to bring eternity to himself and bring eternity to his family. He could have given it to Avram Avinu and subsequently the other Sanimais at either a fair price or for free. And as a result, what would he have gotten? He may not have gotten all the money he wanted, but he would have gotten Zechusim. Extraordinary, priceless. I want to add priceless Zechusim that would have been suited for him and that would have been a privilege. He provided Maris HaMachpela for the Avos and Imois. He was presented a golden opportunity and he blew it. He could have taken the root of his name Ephraim, which is Afar. What does one do with dust and the ground? You build. There's so much potential. This was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and he, Ephraim, blew it. Memela, the Mefarshim say, the letter Vav, when it's inserted in a person's name, generally emphasizes the uniqueness of his name. It underscores the essence of the person's name. In other words, the Vav in the name would underscore and emphasize the offer that he came from. That essence, that vav, was removed. It wasn't stam a letter that was removed. The very letter that represents and could have potentially underscored a golden opportunity, that letter was removed to indicate that the opportunity and privilege he could have had, what he could have inquired for himself, he allowed the love for money to blind him. He went ahead, it did not allow him to think clearly, it caused irreparable damage, and as a result, that eternal opportunity was lost forever. Now, if you think about it, sometimes isn't our life that way? While our name may not be Ephraim, but we all stem from the Ofer, from the Adama, and we're given golden opportunities. Do we utilize them or do we blow those opportunities? Sometimes we're given opportunities to acquire eternity for ourselves and our families, l'dayrei dayreis. They're priceless opportunities. Grab them. Don't use them. Don't abuse them. Isn't that the famous pshat from the Sfasemes? I quoted to you a few moments ago that in the davening Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur after the Nisan HaTokef, we say, Adam Yesoidai Mei Ofar V'Soifei La'Ofar. Our origin is from Ofar and our end is from Ofar. Indeed, it says in Pirkei Avos, where is a person headed? We came from Ofar and going back to a place of Ofar. People cry. People are very serious on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur when they say those words. Why the Sfasemes wonders? If your life started with gold and you squandered it and gave it back as dust, that's a reason to cry. But Yesoidai Mei Ofar V'Soifei La'Ofar, you had dust, you gave it back as dust. Why is the person crying? That Sfasemes is precisely the pshat we just said. You were given the opportunity. You have dust. Dust means dirt. Adama, build, build, build. Do something. And after 70 years in this world, v'soifei la'afar, you gave it back exactly as you received it. You didn't utilize the opportunity. That's taka, a reason to cry. Isn't there the famous story that they say over that a person was in dire need of money? He asked one of the very wealthy from the Rothschild family to lend him a substantial sum. Let's say $1 million, and the amount was lent to be paid back in 6 months. The fellow was mamish in a dire situation. 6 months later, on the day exactly as designed, he goes back to the Rothschild, and he tells him to the baron, here's the $1 million you lent me. I kept it exactly as you gave it to me. You could believe me. It's the same bills, in the same paper wrapping, the same sequence number. I did a great job guarding the money as you gave it to me. I give it back to you. Naturally, you'd want to turn to that person and say, foolish person, you were given the money to do something with it. Invest, build, do something. Opportunities, chusim, you could buy eternity. You weren't given that money merely to watch it, keep it in the drawer, make sure it doesn't collect dust, and give it back to me with the exact same notes and numbers and rubber bands? What a foolish thing to do, but that's the pshat. Adam yisayda may offer v'sayfai la'afar. Perhaps the vav is not taken out of our name, but whatever our name might be, etymologically, if you think about it, we come from Adam, we come from the Adama, we come from the Afar. Sometimes we have these golden opportunities daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, but we have them. Are we grabbing the opportunities? Are we utilizing them? Maybe you could add that the reason that the letter Vav is the letter that's removed, we said that the Mefarshim say, because Vav underscores the uniqueness of the person's name. Perhaps we could add, a few weeks ago, we spoke a lot about the letter Vav. We're not going to repeat what we said a few weeks ago. We spent a lot of time on it. But one thing that came out from all the pshatim we said a couple of weeks ago on the letter Vav is that Vav is the ultimate uniter. Vav is the chibur. Vav is the letter that brings everything together, which would explain that in the Mishkan we found the vessel, the item known as Vavin, Vavehem, Vav. They were hooks. They brought together. They united. And we spoke out a couple of weeks ago how the Vav has the ability to unite Klal Yisrael with the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Torah. We spoke out Kechavim. We gave that shiur a couple of weeks ago. But the upshot of what we said was that the letter Vav is a letter of Chibur. It's a letter that unites. It's a letter that represents continuity. Maybe Ephraim lost the Vav from his name, representing you had a chance to acquire eternity for you and for generations. And it was a blown and missed opportunity. Let's utilize the opportunities that we're given to create the Vav, to create the Chibur amongst ourselves and future generations. Sometimes we do something that brings eternal zechusim, not only for us, but our children, our einiklach, and their einiklach. That's the letter Vav. Let's remember when we see in the parsha that the Vav is missing from his name, remember good and well, that when we have those opportunities, the opportunities of Adam Yesoidai Me'afar, the opportunities that we're given in this world to utilize and to maximize them, we should be zeichah to earn the letter Vav. It should unite us and all of our generations. Take a look a little bit later on. The pasuk tells us, "Vayetze Yitzchak lasuach basada lifnois arev, perek chav dalid, pasuk samach gimel." Chav dalid samach gimel. Yitzchak is walking in the field lasuach basada. We're going to spend the rest of the shiur analyzing this pasuk. I first want to speak about the tefillah that Yitzchak established. We know that Avram established the Tefillah of Shachris, Yaakov Avinu established the Tefillah of Arvis Meiriv, and Yitzchok in the middle established the Tefillah of Mincha. In fact, when this pasuk tells us Vayeta Yitzchok Lasuach Basada, the Mefarshim Taka say, you'll take a look at Rashi, that Lasuach, Rashi explains, is a Lashon of Sicha. In this case, it was a Lashon of Davening. And this is where he established the Tefillah of Mincha. In fact, the Mefarshim tell us that as a result of his Tefillah Mincha, the Ribbono Shel Olam responded immediately. He responded favorably right away to the plea of Yitzchak. Let's talk a little bit about the uniqueness of Tefillas Mincha. Obviously, each of the three Tefillas that have Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are unique and special, each in their own right. But since we find in this week's parsha the Tefillah of Yitzchak, that of Mincha, let's spend a few minutes talking about it. The Mefarshim explain an advantage, if you will, that Tefillas Mincha has over Shachris and Meiriv. If you wanted to use as a metaphor Shachris, Shachris is davened in the morning. The morning is a time that generally the sun is shining. The morning is a time when we use the expression sun is shining, we mean that everything seems to be going your way. So maybe in that sense you could say it's a little bit easier to daven during the Shachris of life. It's a little bit easier to daven that tefillah because it's when everything is rosy, everything is sunny, everything seems to be. So maybe in that sense, it's not so difficult to pour your heart out to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Now let's go to the nighttime tefillas Meiriv Arvis. That's just the opposite. That's when things seem to be gullus, dark, extremely bleak. Things seem to be circumstances pressing down very hard on you. There as well, you could say, for the opposite reason of the Shachris moments in your life, the Meiriv moments in your life are perhaps also somewhat easier to turn to the Ribbono Shel Olam because of the difficulty and the darkness and the bleakness. You realize I have nowhere to turn other than the Ribbono Shel Olam. So we just gave extremes, the Shachris moments of your life and the Meiriv moments of your life. Perhaps one could say that those two might be easier situations than Matzavei Achayim to realize I can daven, and I need to daven. Not so Mincha. Because Mincha, you find already the afternoon that's turning into evening. It's a little bit confusing, because the sun is still shining, but things are starting to dim. Different things seem to be fine, but then I look on the horizon, and I see storm clouds that seem to be coming. So it's a little bit of a confusion. They're good, but maybe not so. It's still somewhat light, but I'm now on a little bit of shaky ground. So I don't have the self-assuredness, so to speak, of the Shachris of my life, nor the desperation of the Meiriv moments of my life. So maybe in that sense, that in between makes Tefillas Mincha an extremely unique and powerful tefillah. It's that feeling when a person feels, yes, I want to have the confidence, the sun is still shining, but it looks like it's getting a little bit dim. There's the confusion. There's not really being so sure and self-assured anymore. You're starting to find yourself on the beginning of rocky ground. The mincha moments of life are unique. When Yitzchak created that tefillah was answered and responded to favorably and immediately. Perhaps therein lies the uniqueness of Mincha. If you think about it, people throughout their lifetime experience moments of Shachris moments, Meiriv moments, and certainly Mincha moments. We're not just talking now about davening the tefillah of Mincha. We're talking about connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam through the mincha metaphor moments of life. that we've mentioned in the past. I believe it's from the Maral. An added dimension of why Tfilas Mincha is so unique, and we'll tie the two together. Perhaps another explanation might be because Shachris, you have a very set time. It's in the morning before you started your day. Ma'ariv generally is at night when you've already ended your day. But to stop and daven Mincha, but I'm mamish in the middle of work. I'm in the middle of an extremely potential prosperous deal. And you got to stop everything and daven Mincha. Shachris, I'm starting my day. I didn't get into it yet. Night of my day is over, but Mincha, to stop? Perhaps that's another uniqueness of Mincha, that it means putting everything on hold. Precisely when we said it's the Mincha moments of life, and turning to the Ribbono Shel Olam in the middle of your day, and stopping to daven Mincha. I believe it's the Maral who says, we know that by the Seder we have three matzos, top, middle, and bottom. The top is the matzah of Avraham. The middle is the matzah of Yitzchak. And the bottom is the matzah of Yaakov. The top and the bottom, they stay whole. It's the middle matzah that you break. The middle matzah is the matzah of Yitzchak. The idea that it's broken represents the idea that there is a difficulty to it. There's something more difficult. It doesn't necessarily have the shlemus and completeness of the matzah above it or below it, that of Tfilas Shachris or Tfilas Ma'ariv. The break represents the difficulty. It's the Mincha moment of my life. The break represents I have to stop my day when I might be in the middle of a deal or whatever it is. It's coming to Shki, I have to stop and daven Mincha, as indicated by the matzah that's broken in two, the matzah of Yitzchak. We await the day by the Gula Shalema where Be'ezus Hashem, that middle matzah, is whole once again. That's mamish the uniqueness of Tfilas Mincha. And the truth is, we have a little bit of this, and there is a little bit of this within every one of us. When we were giving our shiurim on Haggadah Shel Pesach, we mentioned our Dalet Banim, and we said that there's a little bit within us of the Chacham, of the Rosh, of the Tom, of the Sheina Yodea. An easy way to know that is because it says the word Ben four times. Ben, Ben. By each one of the Dalet Banim, the gematria of Ben is 52. Times 4 is 208. The gematria of Yitzchak is 208. It's to remind us of our need to connect, that within us there is moments where we're like the Chacham, moments that we're not as good, moments where we make mistakes, moments where we behave in a simple fashion. There is the Dalet Banim within every one of us, and it's our job on those Mincha moments when things are busy, when things are hectic, when we don't seem to have the time, when we don't seem to understand, is it light, is it dark, is it bleak, am I shaky, what's going on? The Mincha very much defines us. And we're mispalel for the day when that middle broken matzah will be showing once again. For the final part of the shir, I'd like to share with you a Dvar Torah. It's based on something that my father, Zatzal, said. This coming week, this upcoming week, Monday, Be'ezus Hashem, is actually the 25th yahrzeit of my father, Zatzal, Harav Mordechai Shapiro. Lechvoy, the 25th yahrzeit, I want to share with you something brought down in his Sefer Imrei Mordechai. It's one of the most beautiful and magnificent pshatim, and it's mamish something that we could easily at least attempt to incorporate into everything that we do. What does it mean, l'suach basada? I explain it the way Rashi says. If you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says it represents Yitzchak going to daven from the word sicha, which is to speak. The Pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Beis, Pasuk Aleph, uses the word Sicha as in to talk and to daven. The Rashbam doesn't learn that way. The Rashbam explains that the word Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basoda, Zokta Rashbam Lasuach means he went to plant seeds. He went to plant seeds to grow trees. Where do you see that's the word Lasuach? Because at the beginning of Bereshis, Perek Beis Pasuk Hey, it says V'chol Siach Hasoda. So you see the word V'chol Siach Hasoda. When it says the Rashbam Vayetze Yitzchok Lasuach Basoda, what does it mean? He went to plant trees. It would seem like these two definitions, that of Rashi and that of the Rashbam, are two separate definitions. Is Lasuach from the word Sicha that he spoke, or is it from the word Siach Hasoda that he planted a tree? In one sense, they are two pshatim. However, my father Zatzal so beautifully explains, really there's a Tzad HaShava, there's a very, very powerful commonality between the two. A person takes a seed and he plants it in the ground, he covers it with afar, as we started the shiur. Will it germinate? Will it not germinate? He's not really quite sure. In fact, it goes through a bleak winter, and there's dirt that was placed over it. I really don't know. But if he waits a couple of years, a couple of months, however long it is, then he sees the extreme beauty of the seed that germinated, the seed that grew. Now there's a tree, and then there are luscious peiros. Very often, says my father, Zatzal, it's that way with our words. We say a word, and we wonder, did it have any effect? We wonder, like, did that person even hear me or notice that I tried to say something uplifting to them? It's like the seed that germinates in the ground. We're not quite sure. Did the person hear? Did it affect them at all? Until you find out a couple of months later, you may not find out. A couple of months later, a couple of years later, maybe that person, it turned their life around. Maybe that person was able to build their self-esteem and confidence precisely because of your words. What a meiridik apshat meirazer abaisai. Never, ever forget it. The Pshat of Rashi and the Pshat of the Rashbam may very well have the Tzad HaShava, the commonality, just as the seed, so are the power of your words. You plant them in the heart of a person and you wonder, is the seed germinating? Is anything happening? I haven't heard back from the person. Wait a few weeks, wait a few months, wait a few years. And like the seed, so your words. Eventually the Elon, the person grows. There are peiros, there are children, our Enochloch, that Rebbe said that finely placed word to the Talmud. And that Talmud was inspired years later to become a Rebbe on his own and to raise the next generation of Erlich HaYidin because of you. Because of that word that changed the trajectory of their life. So now I ask you, Rabbi Isai, are the two pshatim not one and the same? I remember a number of years ago when I had said over this pshat, somebody called me. I'll mention his first name. His first name is Larry. And he told me over, you may remember the Maisa, Moiridika, Moiridika Maisa. Pile, 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 ployim. And this is Mamash the Pshat that my father's Atzal meant. The Maisa originally goes back more than 40 years ago when the Telzer Rosh Hashiva Rav Gifter, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was going to spend Shabbos in Muncie, actually in the home of my aunt and uncle. When he woke up Shabbos morning, the Telzer Rosh Hashiva wasn't feeling well. And as a result, it was obviously decided right away to make a minyan there, either in that house or next door, but on the block, so the Telzer Rosh Hashiva wouldn't have to walk since he wasn't feeling well. But they didn't have a balkaire. So my cousin was sent to go to one of the shuls where a neighbor, Larry, was already davening. He was a wonderful balkaire. And to get into Lane, that was Parsha Shlach. Parsha Shlach is a difficult parsha to learn, and he told my cousin, I only know well until Revi, Chamishi, after that I don't know well. But what brayer, what choice do you have that tells the Rosh Hashiva needs a minion, he needs a Malkaire? Larry was very gracious, he acquiesced, and he went to Lane at this private minion. As he told it to me, Til Ravi Chamisha, he did a fine job, and afterwards, unfortunately, as we say, it went south. He really feels that it did not go well, the second half of the parsha, at all. Obviously, the Tel Zerosh Hashiva got an aliyah when Kriya Satira ended. He praised Larry, and he told him how wonderfully he laned, that what a pleasure it was, and he enjoyed the laning. It made Larry feel a little bit better, but he knew that the second half of the Parsha, Parsha Shlach, he really didn't do an adequate job at all. Fast forward 5 years. Larry tells me, he told me this story 35 years after the 5 years, Shtel Zuchfar. 5 years after the story I just told you, he's at a chasna, and he's about 20 or so feet away from Rav Gifter, and Rav Gifter's in the middle of a conversation with Rav Pam, the Rosh Hashiva of Terev Hadas, and all of a sudden Rav Gifter looks up and sees about 20 feet away, Larry. And as Larry starts to approach Rav Gifter brings the Terev Hadas Rosh Hashiva closer to Larry, and with excitement and exuberance, he says to the Terev Hadas Rosh Hashiva, Rav Pam, I want to introduce you to my personal Balkaire. I want to introduce you to somebody who was once my Balkaire years ago. And praised once again what a wonderful job he did. Very, very Rabbi, in 5 years. You could only imagine how many countless thousands upon thousands of Talmidim and Balamatim and encounters the Tel Zer Rosh Hashiva had. But he remembered one. He remembered that he called over to tell the Rosh Hashiva of Terev Hadas to tell Rav Pam, I want to introduce you to Larry, my Balkaire. 35 years later, when Larry called me to tell me the story, he said, all these decades later, I still feel so warm. I still feel so wonderful. I still feel the glow of how Rav Gifter made me feel when he acknowledged and praised me in front of Rav Pam. That's the pshat of Rashi, and that's the pshat of the Rashbam. A word could be planted 5 years after the laning took place. It made Larry feel wonderful. Imagine that Rav Gifter remembered. And almost 4 decades later, Larry is still warmed by the glow of those words, because that's what words do. They germinate into a tree and into luscious fruit. Hence the bridging together of the two pshat and that of Rashi and the Rashbam. I want to end with one final mice I saw. Perhaps we could add one knetch to what we've just said. In the Pasuk, the sicha, the speech that Yitzchak did, was actually davening. We, the last few minutes, were referencing sicha, speech, as in regular words, how they have ability like siach hasada to germinate like a seed. But maybe to conclude the shir, we could put the two pshatim together. Isn't that true with our tefillahs as well? We daven today, but maybe that tefillah is going to be answered in a month. In a year, maybe it's going to be answered at a time that we're not aware how it's going to be answered. That tefillah being answered is mamish like the pshat of siach hasada, the tefillah shetosim demaisenu benoit choliyos. It's planted like a seed, and only years later maybe our tefillah will be answered, and that's when it's germinating. So I saw a beautiful maisa brought down in Pnina Malatayr. He says that a young, wonderful Talmud Chacham became engaged to a true Bas Yisrael, and Baruch Hashem was a wonderful shidduch. A little bit after the engagement, he confided to his kala that a number of years earlier he underwent a difficult nisayon in his life. He told her that he had been at serious risk, turning his back on the observant life that with which he was raised. At the age of 16, he was going to drop out of yeshiva, and he went through different difficulties at that point in his life. And then he said, suddenly and for no apparent reason, he says, I woke up one morning and I was just overcome with a desire to return to yeshiva. I have no idea what gave me the inspiration, only it was the turning point in my life. And talking from that, he went on to become an extraordinary masman. He learned diligently. He achieved greatness, and now he found himself as this Ben Tayer engaged to this wonderful Bas Yisrael. And during the engagement, he shared that story with her. The Kala listened, and she said, exactly when did that occur, that you woke up one morning for no apparent reason and had the burst of inspiration to return? Well, obviously, since it was such a critical moment in his life, he remembered the exact year, the exact day that that episode took place, that he woke up and he had the inspiration to go back with serious Torah observance, to continue the beautiful way. And he told her exactly the day it happened. When his Kala heard that, her face lit up. She explained that she kept a diary of different moments, different days in her life. And in her diary, she had entered that on that exact day, the day that he said as a 16-year-old, inexplicably, he had the inspiration, she had in her diary that on that day, she went to the Kaiso. She was 13 at the time. She writes, I went to the Kaiso, and I davened fervently to the Ribbono Shel Olam that my future husband should be a Talmud Chacham. The day at 16 that he felt the inspiration, seemingly inexplicably, was the day she had in her diary when she was 13 that she davened at the Kaisel to be Zaycha to a Talmud Chacham, and indeed, Chasdei Hashem, her tefillahs were answered. So, Rabbeisa, you see, tefillah, like the seed, is planted. We don't know if it germinates at the age of 13, 16, when, how, who, where. We're not aware. But we're responsible to the Ribbono Shel Olam that our words and our tefillahs should taka germinate like the seeds. They should grow into ilanos. They should grow into luscious peiros. Like in the story we just mentioned, it should bring about mayradika besurais tovos. Mayrav Rabbi say we should be zaycha to indeed utilize our golden opportunities. Earn the letter vav, whether it's literally in our name or not in our name, but earn what the vav represents. And as we said, our words and our tefillah should be zeicha to sprout beautiful trees, beautiful peiros. And we should be zeicha be'ezras Hashem to gebenchte Yiddish anachas.